This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Yeah.
Let's do it again. Come on.
Can't for one second have our focus on anything other than the San Francisco 49ers. You're talking about a 9-1 football team that easily could be 10-0 right now. I mean, they're a premier team in this league, and if we look elsewhere, we're going to be in trouble.
That's Matt LaFleur over the sounds of Ready for Love by Bad Company on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it's all happening, guys. Courtesy of Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino. Visit paysbig.com. He is our own Mike Clemens, embedded green and gold football reporter. Michael, it's going to be a tremendous game, and this guy knows so much about those dudes on the other side that are preparing. And one thing that has stuck with me about pro football, Herm Edwards said it a couple of weeks ago, you can never cheat this game because it takes more preparation than any sport in America, any sport in the world. These two coaching staffs are going to be preparing their asses off to make sure that they're beating their best friends on the other side.
Well, you know, I think you got to be careful not to overthink it, and that you also can't go too far in the detail. I think that's one of the things I hear about Belichick, is that, I mean, he keeps it to like a postcard, you know. I mean, it's like three or four key points, but they're so right on. And if you focus on those four or five things and, you know, do your job, as he always says, That's how you can be successful. Packers practice indoors today. It was rainy and cold here in Green Bay. Everybody on the field, I think Mercedes Lewis, though, he got veteran rest today. They've still got a number of guys that are on the injury list, but they're limited participation or full participation. They went in pads today. The story is, you know, is with the 49ers. And I'm trying to figure this team out because, you know, the Jim Harbaugh 49ers team, they had the better team that day when they played the Ravens. They were more physical. They had that Patrick Willis group on defense, okay? And they had and you know, Harbaugh had figured out a way on how to use Kaepernick and to beat Green Bay with his feet and to make the throws when he needed to make them. They lost the game because Joe Flacco was in the zone that day.
Yeah, he was.
And at the end of the game, though, you still had Frank Gore, who was, you know, crushing for yards and first downs, and they were moving the chains. And at the end, Kaepernick was trying to force the ball in the corner to Michael Crabtree when he had Randy Moss. Like, why did you bring in Randy Moss?
Right.
Waving his hands in the back of the end zone wide open. They should have won that game, but instead Ray Lewis and the defense, they get that stand, and the Ravens got the trophy.
And that was a late season acquisition, the Randy Moss one, for that exact reason, was find somebody in the back. Mike, that was a great Super Bowl too. That was the lights go out in the Superdome for 40 minutes, right when momentum was changing. You're right, that was a great game.
Mystery how that just suddenly happened.
Suddenly happened, and a huge comeback happened. Yeah.
Suddenly happened.
So now Green Bay has had, you know, overall winning success with these two great quarterbacks in Favre and Rodgers for 25 years. But to me, it's interesting to see how the 49ers could go to the Super Bowl, then completely tank out, and here they are 9-1 again. And what have they done? Whereas the Lions just generally stink, and they've had Matt Stafford for 9 years, you know? So you got to look at the GMs and all. They get Trent Baalke. Now, Scott McClune, former Packer guy, he built that core, those tough guys at Singletary you know, was in over his head as a head coach. But Jim Harbaugh, he got him to the Super Bowl. Then Harbaugh and Trent Baalke didn't get along. Baalke left. He's not like an NFL consultant. No one's talking to him anymore. He's actually from Fond du Lac County, I found out, in Wisconsin. So then they bring in John Lynch, the former safety and the TV analyst. But they've still got a pretty good scouting department. And now, besides having a lot of top picks, what did he do? He loaded up on the defensive line. Oh, my God. This Armstead guy, you know, 6'7", who they're using more like in the nine technique than they did in the last couple of years. These guys, they've been there 3 or 4 years. They've been first and second round picks, third round picks, and now they're coming into their own. And that's part of what's working for them. Then you bring in Kyle Shanahan 3 years ago, who, you know, struggled at first, but it wasn't until he got his quarterback in there and he got his place that he's executing so well. So I said to Matt LaFleur, because this team right now, these 49ers, they got 11 guys on injured reserve. They're 9-1. They got 7 starters that are not participating in today's practice. That sounds a little bit like the magic carpet ride, doesn't it, Sparky? I mean,
a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You know, then they're still winning. Can they still win with all those guys out against the Packers? And I asked Matt LaFleur, how's Kyle Shanahan get these guys to 9-1 after going 4-12 last year?
He and his staff have done a great job. You know, you look at the numbers, obviously the obvious thing is the defense is so much improved, and they added a lot of talent over there. I've always thought the scheme was spot on. It's a great scheme. I think Robert Saleh's done a heck of a job with that scheme and utilizing the players and putting them in position, and I think that's a big reason why they've been so successful. But I think offensively, I think Kyle's got a good vision of what he wants. And he gets players to fit his scheme. Sometimes you get guys that are maybe a little bit less known, and he's able to plug them in, and they're pretty successful. And he's always been able to do that.
Smart guys can make really, really good football teams. And, Mike, I think Kyle Shanahan is becoming one of the brightest and really following the footsteps of his father. But it just doesn't seem like he does too much and lets the game come to him a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and the more I learn about Kyle Shanahan, the more I like him, man. I mean, I think he's really smart, and I think he's maybe underrated. And you know, 49ers don't get a lot of coverage out there in San Francisco like they used to. Maybe they will if they get into the postseason this year. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan grows up, you know, with his dad coaching the Broncos. You know, he's literally there on the sidelines during Super Bowl 32 when they beat the Packers, carrying the cords to his dad's headset. And then works his own career, working for the Texans, meets a guy named Matt LaFleur with the Texans about Gary Kubiak, former Denver guy, is their head coach, and they get their opportunities there. And then he becomes an offensive coordinator calling plays. To me, what's so amazing about Matt LaFleur is to be 8-2, mainly it's because he's got Aaron Rodgers. Number two is I think he's doing pretty good calling these games.
Yep.
As a head coach. I think the sport is so complicated for a head coach. And I'm amazed that these guys that have been assistants, suddenly put on a headset and they think they can call a game, you know, without being a head coach first in college or high school or somewhere. But, you know, Matt's gone from Central Michigan to the NFL as an assistant. Now, he got to call plays for a year with Tennessee and occasionally when he was with McVay that one year. So I asked Kyle Shanahan in the teleconference, how tough is it to walk in there and put on a headset and call a game with the challenges and all that as a first-year NFL head coach?
I mean, it's intense. I think it's something you crave. It's something it is fun, too, in a weird way. It's a challenge, and it's fun to just be that locked into something for 3.5 hours and something you prepare for all week and to do it at the highest level. I do think it's a little different, you know, just for, you know, being a coordinator for 9 years and stuff before being a head coach. You know, I've been able to call a lot of plays. I've been in a lot of situations. So going from an offensive play caller to a head coach, there are a lot of similarities. You're still calling the game. You're still in charge of a lot of timeouts and things like that. So I do think that prepares you a lot. So it's not just a shell shock from never calling plays or something and going to it. So I feel fortunate that I was able to do that. But it's good to get those first games out of the way. You know, I joke with Matt, you know, he has no idea what, I mean, it took me till my 9th game to get my first win. So he doesn't know what that feels like. He got that over his first game. So it can be a little tough when you have to wait till week 9 to get your first win. But besides that, once you get that first one out of the way, it's just like any other game. It's just adjusting week in and week out and being able to deal with the pressure.
Mike, I guess I haven't really thought about it because it all happened so quick and we've kind of been in a whirlwind of how this year has gone. That first game in Chicago when they hand him the game ball, that is such a rarity in pro football to win your first game as a head coach on the road in that kind of environment. It was an incredible run.
Because it's going to be the Super Bowl representative of the NFC.
Well, right, and you're on the road in a hostile environment against one of your biggest, the arch rivals of pro football with the biggest rivalry in pro football. It's really incredible.
And you went into the Soldier Field and basically pitched a no-hitter. You know, you played defense, and you played smart, and you kept the ball away from them, and on and on. And I think it's wrecked the Bears, and I think it's given it was, that was the first step to confidence building for this new team with a new head coach.
100%, 100%.
When you get that win against, everybody's talking about the Cowboys. They've got the number one offense still in the NFL, but you get that win on the road against the Cowboys. You get that win on the road against the Chiefs. Yeah, it's Matt Moore. But these kinds of wins have no doubt built the confidence, and now you can meet the challenge of Sunday night and 9-1. Now, nobody does, you know, there was times where I thought Aaron Rodgers was running this offense in the spring and the misdirection and the triple fakes, you know, to Jamal and then to Aaron Jones and then jet sweep and all that. But they've gotten away from it. And you know what? It's LaFleur has given in to Rodgers to say, all right, if you want to be in the shotgun because you can see the field more and throw the ball more often, you know, that's what they're doing. But you will see Garoppolo, because he doesn't have that good of an arm, run the Shanahan offense and do those triple fakes. Now, Billy, if you're playing outside linebacker and a team is doing that, this happened to me once in high school. First time we played this team when I was playing down in Georgia, they beat us because they would have these triple fakes and we were jumping on them and we were, you know, chasing after ghosts, right? So when we had to meet them in a conference championship, coach said, don't cross the line of scrimmage. Play the gaps. Let the play come to you. And I'm asking Za'Darius and Preston Smith about that. They said, Rashawn Gary, the rookie, was looking at the tape yesterday and saying, what are we going to do with all this crap, all this misdirection? I asked Za'Darius, do you have to be patient and just let the play come to you?
Most definitely. You know, we talked about that yesterday. I think it was, who was it, RG asking a question about what all that in the backfield. We don't need to pay attention to that. You know, we just key in on our keys, and we get a down block, we get a down block. If we get a reach, we get a reach. We play it how we play it, and that's how we're going to continue to do it.
Yeah, we got to stay disciplined with our eyes, disciplined with our technique, and do what we coach to do.
Basically.
And, you know, we can play at a high level while doing it.
Great answer.
Mike, it's the toughest thing to do when you see the play right in front of you. We had a game in my high school, I think it was my freshman year, we're playing in the playoffs against a team, triple option, same thing, triple fakes, going all over the place. We had one dude maybe give up four touchdowns just on fakes and not being alignment, assignment, sound. Mike Pettine's got to have his work cut out for him.
Yeah, and so I asked him, are you telling your defense that they've got to be patient? Because here's the difference. The one loss that these 49ers had were what? Seattle had their scheme going on, but the joker was Jadeveon Clowney lined up on the left-hand side, and he didn't care. He was going after Russell Wilson every damn play. If he couldn't tackle him, at least he was going to hurry him.
Yep.
He was on the outside. He was going to beat their right tackle and get to the backfield every play. It was like they had 10 guys on defense, and Clowney was there to just play for the quarterback. And guess what? They won the game. So I asked Mike Pettine about this. What's his philosophy in telling these guys in facing this misdirection from Kyle Shanahan's offense?
Well, it starts with, you know, the eye discipline. The guys have to know with each call, hey, how do I get lined up and what am I looking at? They can't let the motions and the shifts and then what happens post-snap, they can't let that affect their job. And that's where teams give up big plays against them. One, they're not ready. They'll get up on the ball and go. They're real good at changing their tempo, whether it's no huddle or just getting on the ball quick or get on the ball and then they don't snap it real quick, but they mix it all, which is obviously a challenge. But I don't think you can play just, you know, one or two things against this style of offense. I don't think you can sit back because it's, as I just talked about, I mean, they have a pretty good feel of what you're in. You're going to get carved up. And then on the flip side of it, you can't be at the other end where you say, hey, listen, we're just going to attack this offense. You'll make some plays, but you're going to give a bunch up too. So I think you have to be calculated with it. It's got to be a healthy mix. You know when to do it, when not to. And then that's all part of the chess game.
It is. It's a chess game, and it's going to be a great one. And you brought it up, Aaron Rodgers. loves those chess games. He's like, he likes being the smarter guy in the room, especially when he has Devontae Adams that he can try to scheme open and make sure that he can get the ball to.
So here's Rodgers coming back from the break, from the bye, and you start thinking, like, all right, it's week 11, dude. What's the identity of your team? You know what you got for your backfield, for Aaron Jones for speed, for Jamal Williams to pound the rock, and Devontae Adams. But really, who's your number two receiver? And we asked Aaron that.
You know, we've been finding a way to win different ways. I think we can is the answer. And I think it's going to take guys buying into their roles and understanding that 1 week, you know, they might have a couple big catches and 140 yards and a touchdown, and the next week they might not be as big of a factor in the game. And that's just the way the game plays out, the plan, the defense we're playing against. I think great teams understand their roles and embrace them and make it more about the team. I mean, obviously everybody wants to go out there and compete and put up numbers and make splash plays, but I think the character and the identity of this team has been that every week it could be something different, someone different. You got to play your role to the best of your abilities, and that's how we've been winning.
And Aaron Jones has been doing this all year long. Mike, I read this stat and I found it amazing. 22 red zone carries, 11 touchdowns for Aaron Jones this year.
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, somebody asked him today, you think you can get the 20 touchdowns? He goes, that'd be a great goal. You know? Now he's, you know, the team is focused. The bye week came at an excellent time, particularly coming off that win over Carolina. But they know they have to find themselves to play a new step, because this is such a physical team they're going to face on Sunday night, even with all the injuries they've got. And so then Aaron Jones, though, he's just kind of goofing around, and we're about to start talking to him, asking him some football questions in his locker, and here's how it went.
I'll ask the first question.
That was the first question?
No, is ice cream frozen?
What's the answer?
I would say no.
Wow. What you learned on your bye week?
We had a family debate, so my sister brought it up and kind of got into it, and at first I said it was frozen, but if you think about it, it's not solid.
Correct.
And cheese melts, butter melts, deodorant melts, ice cream melts.
So you have to keep it in the freezer.
But it doesn't freeze. Ice is frozen. If you think of, you try to stick a spoon through ice, if you can't. Ice cream never freezes solid. So I guess it'd be the definition. Somebody's definition of freeze.
Who brought it up in the first place?
How much ice cream did you actually eat over the bye week? Then?
None.
Good answer. Good answer. We see that flat stomach, Aaron Jones. Nice work. Nice work, Mike Clemens.
Thank you, guys.
That's Mike Clemens joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Guys, plan your next visit to the Midwest's premier entertainment destination, Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Gaming, dining, shows, hotel and spa, it's all happening
now
at Pottawatomie.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.